This is Highly Social with Mike Eaton. Bitches, show Mike Eaton your titties.
Hi, welcome to Highly Social. I'm your host, Mike Eaton. We are brought to you by the Creek in the Cave Studio. The Creek in the Cave, best comedy club in the whole goddamn world, right here in Austin, Texas, off 7th Street. We are open 7 days a week. There's so much good stuff going on. There's great shows all the time. I just finished doing Lemaire's show, Feud, and he's one of the guests today. First Hello. Guest, it's Lemaire Lee.
Hello.
Second guest, it's Darian Irwin.
Hey.
Third guest, it's this guy.
Give me the money.
All right, let's just go back to talking like we were immediately when it was still normal, right before it became a podcast.
Yeah.
We're talking about the V, dude.
The V.
I'm hyped for the V, dude.
I don't know this.
So against my better judgment, I've decided to go on a second trek to Las Vegas for Skankfest. Ooh. But this time, there will be no bicycle man.
Yeah.
There will be an RV.
RV.
So I'm just not. So what you're saying is you're going back to Skankfest, but I'm not invited.
Yeah, sorry, brother. The V's fool.
Yeah.
I did not make the V decisions, but I was invited to join the V.
What's the V? Who's on the V?
Me.
You.
We're gonna play PS5 all day. That's it. We're gonna.
Andy's joining and Nate.
Yeah.
And Germ is gonna be a PA.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then Justin. And is Rebecca coming on the V?
No.
Thank God.
Hell yeah.
I mean, just kidding.
excuse my French, but Rebecca, no bitches on the V, dude.
Rebecca could not be the only female energy on the V because she would have to step up into super Becca mode, Rebecca mode, and I would not like that.
No, dude, we don't need that.
The V is going to be crazy. It's going to, because the last day, it's just going to be us getting drunk before the after party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's going to rule.
It's well, also, one of the things that's going to be great is to get to go back to all of the places that I went through last year with a very slow timetable. Where it was like, oh, this took 6 days to get between these two spots that just took us 10 hours.
You were with the bike guy? There was a guy biking the skank. It was, oh,
Darian. Yeah. Darian was riding a bicycle.
You didn't know that was me?
No, I didn't know that was you.
That's
really funny. I just remembered. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, dude. I was a dumbass who fucking rode the oldest mode of transportation possible.
Oh, and guess what? After this fucker crashed and didn't make it, tried to convince all of us that the best idea that was this year, if it was in Florida, he should rowboat there. I was like, come on, guys, you can follow me.
What were you on, bro?
I was on monk shit, dude. I was on that monkey shit, dude.
Yeah, you were on that fucking doo-doo dum-dum bridge. Yeah. And I don't know. Looking back on it, there was no way that was going to go anything but awful, but it went...
Biking?
Awful, yeah.
How long did you bike for?
A long time.
I was going miles?
I was going to make it.
How close were you?
Pretty close.
3 days.
Three days out.
He had made it through all of the... like most treacherous stuff and had put an insane amount of miles. The funniest part of this is that the entire time I've been sleeping on like a mattress pad on top of a table.
Yeah.
And we're all just kind of bearing through and making it through and getting there.
Were you
there.
Biking too?
No.
Oh, okay.
Fuck. Yeah, okay. No. Damn.
Were you biking too? Goes crazy.
No, Darian's biking, but at the beginning, we have these arguments because he's, like, going way more than we expect him to go. And it's just like, dude, we're fucking more tired than you are.
Yeah.
And you're riding a bike. And then finally, we get through. There's, like, amazing headwinds. And he's getting just fucked in the face. And he's riding for 6 hours and making it 3 miles, even though he's pedaling full speed.
That's crazy.
Because of just how fast the wind is. And it's, like, just nightmare treachery. And then finally, there's a break in the forecast where we have a clear night. And he's going to night ride from, like, 2 a.m. to, like, 10 a.m. And in those 8 hours, there'll be no headwinds. And he can crush this huge fucking segment. And we'll get back on track. And so that night, we were stopped in Gallup, New Mexico, which is one of the very few cities along the fucking 40 or whatever we're taking. But they had hotels and they had restaurants and they had things. So that night, we dropped Matt Boyd off at a Mexican restaurant to do fucking video editing. We got a fucking RV station in town.
Yeah.
We get all set up, and then I book myself a hotel.
As you should.
And
treat yourself.
So then on the way out, we pick Matt up from the Mexican restaurant where he's been using the free Wi-Fi. We drop me off at the hotel, and then they go out to ride from where he stopped last. I go to sleep in the hotel. I finally fall asleep there. I wake up at 8 in the morning, and I check the location of the guys, and I see that they are at a hospital. I'm like,
oh, no.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Dude, what happened?
Dude. Dude, I don't even fucking
He forgot listen. To put his training wheels on for this one segment.
Oh, my God. I was 3 miles. We had ridden like 115 miles Sheesh. That night after I did a session during the day, too. And I was 3 miles away from being done for the day. And I was coming down this hill. I was standing up on the pedals. I had all my weight forward, just tired. And I hit a pothole going slowly down a hill and just went straight over the handlebars and separated my shoulder, fucked everything up. And then I had to call Dean and be like, yo, Dean, we got to go to the hospital. And it still took Dean like 10 minutes. Oh, what was Dean doing?
But so all of that happens with them and they get Darren to the hospital. Then I just find out like, all right, he's not dead. Thank God. Which is what I assumed happened.
Yeah, fall back to
he
sleep.
Got hit by a fucking an RV flying down the fucking interstate. Because at some point, instead of riding all the back roads that would have taken us 26 days to get there, we're like, let's just ride along the side of the highway.
It's legal. It's legal.
It is legal. We checked.
It's not only legal for me to be on the side of the highway. Legally, I'm entitled to my own lane on I-40.
Isn't that crazy?
That's fucking bananas.
If he wanted to, he could have been just going 30 in that lane and anybody that hit him would have just gone to jail.
You're road
but
off,
instead,
dude.
He would have just died. And they're like, well, I proved that point.
Yeah.
But like we like had finally started gelling and meshing really good as a crew, and then the accident happens and we have all this like, oh no, what do we do? Like things. But just three nights before that, we were in Clovis, New Mexico, which is one of the first cities you hit when you cross the Texas New Mexico border. And at the time, I was the only single guy on the journey. And Darian had ridden like 180 miles that day. So they're like, let's find a massage parlor. Let's just find a place for Darian to get an actual massage.
No, well, all right, go ahead.
In my head, that's how it started, was we were genuinely trying to get you a massage. Not even close.
You were looking to get jerked off and thought, what if we got Darian a massage? And I said, no. I'm not going.
No.
I'm not going.
I can see that.
That's how that started.
So here's the thing. Up until that point in my life, I've done hookers. I've bought hookers. I've done all the stuff. But I'd never done massage into jerk off because that just had never appeared. That had never been an option when I was, like, available to do that or anything like that. And, like, I know a bunch of people that have done it and rub maps and all those things. But I'd never been jerked off.
Rub maps.
After a massage.
Rub maps.
I want it to be known. I don't believe a word.
You know what rub maps is, Jess, right?
I don't.
It's a website to show where you can get jerked off.
It's Yelp for jerk off massage places.
Yeah, I don't pay for it.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, whatever. Sorry I support women.
Yeah, he sucks, but don't be a bitch about it.
No, but like all of that is like genuinely, honestly true. Like I've paid for sex workers. I've gotten scammed out of sex worker, all of the things, but I've never had just the traditional, hey, jerk me off after a massage thing. It just had never come up. And I genuinely was like, maybe there's a massage place or just like a massage artist somewhere in the middle of this.
Massage artist.
I think that's what they called them at Massage Envy. But either way, it's like, I just thought like this would be a nice thing. For a guy that rode a shit ton of miles, I'll just look into it. And one of the places I found was in Clovis, and it was pretty close to where we were. And it had, like, 6 or 7 ratings, but they were all 5 stars. And it was just called Chinese Massage.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was just surveying, just to see what happens. And I called the place.
Just looking.
And I call, and after a few rings, a woman answers and yells at me in Chinese voice. Just, and then hangs up. And I was like, all right, well, that's, you know, probably not like a real number. Like, you know, we're in the middle of fucking nowhere. It's fucking Clovis, New Mexico.
Why would there be Chinese people in Mexico?
Bingo. So I'm like, whatever, fuck it. We're driving back to the RV park.
Yeah.
And then I get a text. Hello, are you looking for massage? I do not speak English. I have to use text for translator. And I was like, yes, I'm looking for a massage. How much are they? And she said, $50 for 30 minutes or $100 for an hour, which is not enough money for an actual massage. Like, if you're doing a real massage, it should cost more than that. So I was like, oh, this is fuck shit. And then I tell the boys, and we all decide this is definitely a jack-off place. So everyone is now out except for me.
I'm on a bike. I was not part of that discussion even.
Yeah, I'm riding.
I'm gone. I'm so focused. It's crazy.
What happened, dude? What happened to your focus?
So they...
Now Mike's getting jerked off.
Yeah.
So I hit a pothole.
No, so all these fucking pussy homosexuals decide they don't want to enjoy a Chinese jerk. And so Dean, who's driving, he's our driver. He's wearing a race car helmet because he's a retarded guy.
Stanfield.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So he has a full-on like race car helmet. It looks like a motorcycle helmet. It's a huge fucking helmet.
Yeah.
And he's driving the fucking Nissan Armada that we're in. So he drives me.
In a normal car. Go ahead.
So he drives me to Chinese massage. We pull up in this shitty fucking little strip mall. It's got like three places, like a dry cleaner, like a closed down something that used to be a store, and then an empty fucking building. And then right next to it is just a small little building. It says China Massage on the front. And then you park on the side, and I walked around to the back door, and I knocked on the back door, and like a 5'3", probably 50-year-old Chinese woman answered, and then was just showing me words on her fucking phone and translating. And she told me that I needed 100 yen. She kept saying yen instead of dollars because she's an idiot.
100 yen got to be like $10.
Right? I was like, oh.
So cheap.
Yeah. But I had only pulled out 80 because I was going to do 50 plus a tip for the jerk off. And she said it was 100 for the half hour plus jerk off. So then I walk outside. I get back in the car with Dean. I say, hey, we have to get more cash. We drive 100 yards directly across the street to a gas station, park in the front. I walk inside. I'm at the ATM pulling out cash. And then the young guy behind the counter goes,
it's like Chinese massage.
The young guy behind the counter goes, hey, man, I got to ask, what's going on with your friend? And I look over and we can just see Dean sitting in the driver's seat, drumming on the steering wheel, wearing a full fucking helmet. And I went, oh, he's retarded. And then the cashier and the two other people at the store laugh super fucking hard. I'm like, I'm the greatest. I take my
good thing you let him drive.
I take my 20, I walk out, and then they watch us drive 100 yards back across the street.
I've seen that before.
But so like I went in, it's a very weird room. There's like very thin, like paper doors, and I kept the cash until she gave me the robe to disrobe. I hand her $100. I laid down on like a normal massage table. She put on some music. Nice. She lit some candles. Smelled nice already.
Romantic.
She pulls the robe down so it's still covered by ass, and then she gave me legitimately a very good massage. She was small, but she was strong. She was throwing her fucking elbows into it. Like
that was the job, though.
It was awesome. Like I was very much enjoying the massage.
Yeah.
And then like enough time had gone by and she told me to turn over. And while I was laying on my back, she kept doing like cool stuff, touching my thighs that felt nice. But all I could think was, I don't feel sexual in any way, shape, or form right now. I'm nervous. I'm not really attracted to this lady. It's an old Chinese woman that's very small.
The one from the door?
Yeah. And so I'm like, man, this kind of sucks. I hope I can at least even get a boner.
She whip them out, dude?
I already paid this fucking money. Yeah, dude, this sucks.
She bring out her Chinese hammers?
What's up?
So then she...
What the fuck is going on?
He's playing music, dude. He's playing sexy music.
Wait, stop. I'm getting horny. Justin, no!
Just come.
No, please stop this. But
it sounds like a Chinese massage in here.
Turn it back on.
China massage.
Oh, Kuei Ling, I miss you. So she the whole time we've not been able to communicate in any English whatsoever because she's just been using translator. Yeah. So
she said finger in asshole.
No, so she takes like the straps.
You gay?
Of her,
you gay? I know you gay. You gay?
She takes the straps of her dress and pulls them off and then pulls her tits out. And then she goes, ah, and squeezes her own tits.
Oh, God.
And then goes, ah, and squeezes my tits. And I was like, okay. And then she grabbed my hand, put it on her tits, and then went, ah. I was like, okay, so I guess I can just...
Dude, yes.
So like, I guess I'm allowed to squeeze titties. That's cool.
She pulled the Chinese hammers out, dude. The
fucking sickle. So she's got her tits out. She goes to the bathroom.
You know what's crazy about this? This is the most intimate sex Mike has ever had.
This is the closest I've ever felt to love.
Yeah.
But, so she walks over. She fills her hand up with a bunch of...
lotion stuff.
Like warm oil.
No. Rocks.
It sucks that you
she filled her hand up with raw corn.
You never got a corn job?
Corn job, dude.
So she fills her hand up with warm oil. She comes over and then just starts slathering it on my whole dick and balls. Rules. And just kind of touching everything. And then she starts jerking. And I swear to God, I had a moment where I leaned up and looked past my belly and looked down there because I was certain there was a second person involved.
That's how good she was.
I was like, there's no way this is just two hands.
She hits you with four hands.
I don't have enough dick to use two hands either.
Chinese people have four hands.
And she's using four hands.
She hits you with a Shiva.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm blown away. She starts getting into the jerk and
you said aiding?
Getting into the jerk. Yeah. So she starts like actually doing the jerk motion. And about 40 to 45 seconds in, I distinctly had the thought, this is awesome. I should take my time and enjoy this. And in the middle of that thought, I was interrupted by, oh! So I grabbed her tit. And then she grabbed.
It'd be funny if you just knocked her out as soon as you can. Just on instinct.
It's for my grandpa!
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, no. This is for Da'Nang, you bitch.
Yeah. Unit 773 was a problem. Yeah, or whatever.
I'll punch you right in your hamburger hill, bitch.
Yeah. This is for what you guys did to me.
Hell's half acre. Yeah.
You talking about Fort Worth?
Yeah.
About Fort Worth.
No, but so she grabs a Kleenex out of a box on a little tray next to her. And she, I swear to God, it was the craziest thing. And I've said this on stage, but it's legitimately just how I feel. Have you seen the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire?
Yes, sir.
When he gets bit by the spider and then they're in the cafeteria and he catches all of Mary Jane's shit on his tray. Mm-hmm. So fun fact, they filmed that for real. He actually did that, which is very cool.
Yeah.
But that's the moment you know he's Spider-Man. She did the tray thing, but with my cum.
It didn't
so
even
as
touch
soon as
you?
I started busting, she was just like, bah, 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 bah. Like all of the meh, 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 meh.
She's a professional.
Yeah, she caught all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she crumpled it up and threw it away and then kissed me on the cheek and said, thank you.
Oh, a professional soul snatcher, dude.
I was ready to propose. It's like, I just got divorced and I would love to marry you. I could give you a better life.
You're just typing it into your phone.
Yeah, like, would you like to join us on the rest of this documentary? My friend is riding a bicycle to Las Vegas.
He's not going to make it. Don't worry.
But so in the RV trip this time, we could stop there.
Oh, wow.
Hypothetically,
I think it. I generally get no lime in mine because
I'll take a lime. It's lime time, brother.
Thank you, brother.
What do you drink, Lemaire?
Vodka, Tito's club soda. You know what? You know why? Because I didn't know what to drink. For real, I only drink Tito's and club soda because of Bert Kreischer. No lie.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Were you a big drinker before he started drinking?
Or you just like inspired by him?
I wasn't a big drinker before I like started to listen to him.
Okay.
And then it did a show like Tito's. And
yeah,
then
do whatever.
He seems like he's fine all the time.
That's a good guy to get health advice.
I said it seems.
Yeah.
Oh.
Man, what a great tale, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I just was very.
But wait, how
away.
Did it end? How did it end? The hospital.
Oh,
separated
yeah.
Separated shoulder.
Darian died.
They gave me fentanyl, which was crazy. I remember I was in the thing. I had my shoulder was separated, and they were like, we got to set your shoulder back into place. We don't know if we need to do surgery or anything yet, but the next thing we need to do is to put your shoulder back in place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be in an insurmountable pain forever. So yeah. Like, fine. And they said, then the doctor, without even asking me or talking to me, goes, give him, I forget what... she gave
like, 50, hit him with the finny pack.
That's exactly what happened. She was like, give him 50 cc's of fentanyl bit. Or whatever. Right? And I went like this. I went, whoa. And she got so mad, dude. She snapped her head, looked at me, and she goes, what? It's medicine. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't know. Fentanyl's a scary... I said this. I was like, fentanyl's a scary word. I feel like we should have had a conversation prior. Yeah. She's like, do you want painkillers or not?
In pain.
I was like, you know what? Yeah.
Don't you got morphine?
Dude, she hit me with fentanyl, and within like 30 seconds, I was like, totally, if you want to do more, I don't care. Do
this
whatever.
This is actually sick.
Do whatever.
She's what like, if you break my leg?
Yeah. What if we start breaking more shit? Because that rules.
Hit it with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fentanyl is nice.
She immediately gave me more fentanyl and I couldn't feel anything. They put my shoulder back in. I was laughing the whole time. It was great.
Dude, so I had a. Do you ever have those like memories from your like. Did you guys do drugs as teenagers?
No.
Eh, not enough.
I was a Christian.
Did you do crazy stuff at all? Did you like do anything wild where you have like memories snap back into there and you're like, I can't believe I did that?
I brought a girl over to my house once and we got caught.
For doing sex?
No, I wish.
Damn it.
She was just there.
Oh, that's even worse.
It was worse. It was way worse. Even worse.
I got really
Your dad
into drugs.
Was disappointed.
Yeah, no joke.
I got really into drugs at like 14. When I got back from this like therapeutic intervention hoods in the woods camp I got sent to.
Hoods in the
you
woods?
Say hoods in the woods?
Yeah.
That sounds like some KKK shit.
That was
dude.
The name of the MTV show that they made.
Then send the hoods in the woods over there, dude.
No, Hoods in the Woods was the MTV show based on the same experience that I went to, but they'd basically take misbehaving children and they send them out to like super wilderness journeys.
Yeah.
And make them go through terrible stuff. So I had to hike like 6 miles a day through 105 degree heat in full armor. Army fatigue.
Got fucking jacked, I bet.
No, but I lost 30 pounds in 38 days. Yeah. It was a fuck, but before that, I'd never
That's
done
good
drugs.
For you.
I'd never hooked up with any ladies. I didn't know. I was just like a bad kid because I was defiant and like talked back.
Yeah.
And then I met all these kids that were doing drugs and having sex. I was like, that sounds so much cooler than what I was doing.
They ruled.
So I got back and was like, how do I find people like them? And then I knew the words to say and I'd learned lingo and I'd learned how to talk about drugs and sex. So I started finding friends that did drugs and sex.
Dude, I feel like you'd be a good like... cute, corruptible kid.
Yeah! I got corrupted so fast. And then I found out about drugs and I started doing them. But I distinctly remember that there was a guy that sold fentanyl lollipops. And that was like a grail for us. Like one of the things that we would all try and get was White Widow as a strain of weed. And then the other thing we would try and get were Blue Dolphins as an ecstasy pill. Mm. And then the last one were the fentanyl lollipops.
Yeah.
And I remember everybody talking about them. And I remember distinctly lying about doing them and saying I'd had them and I knew all about them. And in my head, they were like blow pops filled with drugs. And just I had no idea what they were. And I remember saying that. And I just remember telling that lie to all those people and never having done them. But I remember those being like a thing we sought after. And then months ago, I saw someone talking about actual fentanyl lollipops and showing the actual device and it had just like a giant flashback to when me and my friend Liam were just eating those at the fucking skate park and I had no idea what I was doing. And I was like, these are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But they're like a little like snap Q-tip.
Yeah.
And then it fills up the swab and you suck on it and it's like 1 to 2 milligrams of fent, but it's enough that you're like, it's crazy.
I don't know, dude. I've done enough. I don't need to upgrade.
I honestly, I have had
I'm good.
In my
call me an old man or whatever, but I'm good. So that Darian's pissed, dude. He was so mad.
How many drugs have you done? All the drugs
I've done the ones.
Is there anything you haven't done? I guess this is a podcast and most people aren't comfortable saying this stuff.
No, I don't, it's okay. I haven't done fentanyl. I haven't done trank.
Okay.
PCP? I haven't done crazy. No PCP.
Meth?
No meth. Hopefully no meth.
Yeah. Have you done...
You can't control the meth.
Have you done any kind of speed?
Like Adderall? Does that count?
Yeah, any of those, yeah.
Yeah, not like to abuse it, though.
Okay.
Yeah, because I feel like when I take Adderall, I actually become normal. I actually kind of need it.
Yeah, it's nice as a medicine.
Yeah.
Have you done all of the drugs?
Not all of them.
No heroin.
No. That one scares me.
Yeah.
Heroin does scare me because I know I'm going to love it.
Yeah,
but I've also never loved opiates. I definitely, like, for sure had an opiate overdose death, whatever, should have been dead when I ate 4 80-milligram oxys when I was a freshman in high school or a freshman in college from this guy, Teddy Perwiler. I remember that. Because I ate those and then I passed out and within like 30 minutes. I was like nodding out and then I just slept for like a day and a half.
Now, meth scares me because I love Adderall.
I did meth when I was on Xanax one time during the pandemic.
That seems opposing.
Well, the thing is about Xanax is it kills all your inhibitions. I was on Xanax and then I did some ketamine. I had a really good time. And then I got to this party and the Xanax was starting to wear off. And before I could get another one, I like felt very anxious. And my solution was to make everyone else at the party get really high. and I had like a weed pen on me. I had like a stizzy because it was in LA. And so I made everybody hit the stizzy and then we're all ripping the pen. Everybody's stoned. And then my buddy got there and gave me some more Xanax. And then I got kicked out of the party because I spilled a White Claw and I picked it up while I was spilling and just shoved it in the couch for some reason.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you have to leave. You can't shove full White Claws into the couch. So we left. And
you
then
need to leave.
The dude that picked me and my buddy up was his friend. It was someone like I didn't even know. And we went to like a music studio that was like super cool looking. We're in the music studio and in the like green room of the music studio, there's this big table set out and there was like a fat fucking line of like these orange crystals. And I was like, what is that? They're like, that's meth. Do you want to do a hot rail? And I was like, what's a hot rail? And it's like, you eat up a glass tube and then you snort it and then you the cloud out. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, just do it with your mouth. So we lit the glass tube up and then I went, and then I blew out the biggest cloud I've ever blown in my life. And then I felt pretty good for like 30 minutes. And then I was like, I don't like this. I don't want to do meth anymore. So I've only done it once.
What did it feel like, what did it feel like after that 30 minutes?
It kind of all went black again because of the Xanax.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I ended up cooking a meal, I think. I was really obsessed with figuring out how to make strawberry cayenne reduction at that point in the pandemic. It was like, if you can mix strawberry jam and cayenne pepper and you just shake it, it'll get really thick and syrup.
Never done Xanax either.
Did it ever work?
Yes, I did figure that recipe out. Xanax is the best.
Yeah, that's why I'm not doing it. Yeah, that's why. I've heard from everyone that knows me is like, Xanax is your thing.
Yeah, brother. I would love to watch you barred out. Mike, that would be so funny.
Do you shave every day?
No, this was 2 days ago.
Dude, what the hell?
It's porcelain.
Do you not grow any
body facial hair?
No. I'm transitioning into a woman, so the estrogen makes me grow no facial hair.
Dude, you gotta
let it go. Sweet tits.
You gotta let it go for like a couple months, see what happens. Dude.
Oh, no, nothing happens. It's bad.
Yeah.
I can show you pictures of me. Like when I wait like a week, it starts to look pretty grisly and just gross, but it just looks like my face is dirty.
But like,
but he's not real. He's got Andy written on the bottom of his fucking right foot.
No, I just I
Come
don't.
On.
I don't grow facial hair,
brother. I don't know if I'm a certified cowboy yet, but I got this here bolo tie. I want to say, dude,
why the fuck would you think you're a certified cowboy?
Also, a Hindu evil eye symbol on your certified bolo tie.
No,
people. The word certified bolo ties are racist.
It's a four ball.
You might be certified not a cowboy. I don't know.
Is that a number four?
Yeah, it's a four ball.
All right, never mind. Yeah, it's cool again.
See, I don't know where you hear talk about this. This here my cowboy credentials, but I'm pretty much certified
as what
cowboy. I got to finish the summer out and then I get my hat.
Oh, do you remember the black cowboy that we met?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. At Robbie's show, that was awesome.
Yeah. But dude, he actually turned out to be kind of a cowboy.
That was so fucking. So the best part is there's a guy that walks up and he's like a very cool looking black cowboy. And it's a primarily white libertarian crowd. So we're like, oh, cool. Black cowboy.
Perfect.
And we're admiring that there's a black cowboy. And Nate LaMare, me and Andy are standing outside. Yeah. And they all were like, how do you think he earned his
hat?
How'd
you earn his hat?
And they're all asking that. And I go, dude, he probably just bought it. You go buy a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
So then he walks up and LaMare goes,
that guy played Yu-Gi-Oh! When he was young. So what are you
LaMare goes,
what are you talking about?
Well, how'd you earn your cowboy hat? He goes, what? And Nate's like, well, you know, how'd you earn it? And he goes, I just went and bought it. And then we're like, well, how'd you buy it? And he goes, well, my butcher told me where to go get a good hat. What do you mean? He's like, well, he kills all the meat that I bring him, and that's my butcher, so I figured he knows where to get a good hat. And we're like, oh, yeah, you're very cool.
You are. Maybe. But that's the thing about getting older, too, is you start to realize that every decision somebody makes, like when you're younger, you look at somebody who looks like a cowboy and you go, God, that guy's a cowboy. He must be so cool. And then when you're older and that person's younger than you, you go, this guy just dressed up like a cowboy. This is bullshit, dude.
Yeah.
You're at the same bar I'm at.
We're both at this Christmas bar.
Shut up.
It's
dude.
Goddamn July.
Take your bullshit off.
Do you remember? So, one of my favorite moments. You know what I mean? Of the whole trip during the bicycle trip was when Matt Boyd proved and pulled up facts to show Dean that cowboys weren't real.
That was great. Mm.
And he was just like, hey, all of your like mythologized and like romanticized
cowboys
ideas
weren't a thing.
Cowboys. There's no actual cowboys. There were no like vigilante justice Batman cowboys out there just like, we gonna
that all came about in the 50s and 60s in film. That's
brother,
not how it actually
you
was.
You got a ranch, brother.
But it was all like actual cowboys were criminals and vagrants that were outlaws that were escaping the purview of the law by being out in the middle of nowhere
they
and then
cool.
doing like shitty jobs to make enough money that they could go and pitch a tent in the middle of the wilderness to live another day on the lamb.
Brother, if I had my hat, I'd be tipping it right now.
And then the other cowboys.
You're hanging on to bullshit, dude.
Essentially just the next generation of slaves. They were just migrant workers that got paid jack fucking shit and had to go and do stuff for the people that owned the fucking ranches.
John Wayne was gay.
Yeah, and racist.
Gay and racist.
So gaysist. Half bad, half awesome.
Yeah.
Those things go together. There's a lot of gay racists,
dude,
actually.
Gaysists? They're out
There's
there.
There's a lot of gaysists.
Oh, for sure. There was Milo Yiannopoulos?
Gaysist. He works for Kanye. What's the Kanye news everybody saying? Kanye's about to die or some shit?
Never.
No
he
way.
Can't. Man, it was breaking
Kanye
my heart.
Kanye can't
there.
Die. I don't think it's possible for him.
Is Kanye about to
go
die?
Viral when he dies.
Well, what's the news, though?
He's like addicted to something and
nitrous. Yeah. I saw the leaked text about him talking with his doctor. It was like, our next agenda is to make nitrous legal nationwide. And then Kanye's like, can I get the nitrous today? It spells nitrous wrong. That's
damn,
so cool
dude.
Though.
Kanye West is addicted to whippets. Kanye, that stuff is bad. Kanye,
I've never done whippets either.
Don't listen to me. Whippets are fun. Kanye, don't listen to me. I don't have your life. I've never lost multiple billions of dollars. But, dude, get out of the Whippet game. The Whippet game isn't good, dude. You're going to sell balloons and concerts. You don't want that.
No, come on. Jesus walks. That sounds awesome.
Dude, I got the wub-wubs like a couple times, dude. That was fucking
That's
crazy.
That's the only way that fucking gospel album he makes sounds good.
Dude, that album's pretty nice, dude. I like a couple
that.
Songs. I like Water.
I like that one, too.
Water's
yeah.
on there.
I like it.
Those two albums, the one where he's like sad and then the Jesus one, they're way underrated. They're pretty nice.
There's two beats on the gospel album. I only like three songs on Life of Pablo. I think that Kanye is better as a producer than he is as an artist himself.
Wow, brother. This is crazy.
I think he's a guy who said, I'm great, and then was great after that, which is crazy.
He called a shot. He's Babe Ruth.
I do very much feel like if that retard could do it, that I should just decide I'm great at comedy. And
there's a lot of truth to that.
Just I'm great
it.
Now.
Just
there's a lot of truth. There's a lot of truth to that.
My mom's name is Donda.
Half of the people really? That are making
no.
it.
Donda. He's like, mom,
my
made
mom's
this song
Mexican.
For you.
Her name's Donde.
Donde.
She left me.
Donde. That's funny.
Donde.
I think luck works the same way. I think lucky people just decided that they're lucky. And then they manifest it into reality.
I think I had like a big rebound from my motivational speaker years because I got like so inculcated in that world that like when you start to see that everybody that's selling
Mike
go do stuff. Yeah.
Great word.
Thank inculcated. Yeah. I couldn't stop thinking about it as soon as you said
so
it. Unbelievable.
Great,
I don't even, I'm not even convinced it's
I don't
real.
Know what it
go
means.
Ahead, go ahead and look it up for us. We'll see
I don't
what
know
happens.
What it, means.
It means made solid inside of.
Brother, if it's a real word. Great application.
You crush it.
Great fucking execution. 10 out of 10 on that
Inculcate.
Word.
Inculcate.
Damn, dude. And he used it in the past tense, dude. Dude, master of the English language, dude. You are really a motivational speaker.
Why
please.
You suck at comedy, bro?
Yeah, dude, you're the first motivational speaker to become a comedian.
Oh, but I just...
It's hard to look at a motherfucker like that and be motivated.
Nah, this will motivate the shit out of you. Yeah. Don't be like me.
Yeah.
No, I hearing all those people and you'd read a book and you'd read this thing and you'd be like, wow, this really makes me want to change my life. And then you'd meet the person and be like, yeah, dude, when I wrote that, I was like in the middle of this fucking bender in Costa Rica and I was just balls deep in this chick. And I had this idea that if I wrote this, and then they write this thing and it's like, well, you wrote a thing and then made a shit ton of money and then told people how to live their lives from the point when you made a bunch of money. You didn't tell them what you were doing before that. You didn't tell them about rich dad. You didn't tell them about fancy stuff. You didn't tell them about all the bonuses that helped you get to a place where you could fuck off long enough to write a book.
Yeah.
I don't think they see it though.
They don't. None of them see it. They're all completely fucking delusional. And they all think, I went into this world, I carved my place in it, and I manifested this beautiful destiny for me by believing and asking the universe of it. And it's like, well, most of that was just nepotism and like your parents having money and you getting to be a dumb fuck. But you watch enough of that and then you realize that like the only actual thing that has ever been gained by Tony Robbins or any of these fucking losers, I did the whole walk on broken glass. I have a video of me walking on a bunch of broken bottles and nothing bleeding out of my feet and just
just standing behind him.
Brother, I was just fat and walking across glass and I thought, I didn't break my feet on this glass. I didn't bleed a single drop. That means that what he's saying is right, that my mind is stronger than all of this. But it boils down to Dunning-Kruger. Which is, you are dumber than you think you are, and the less that you know, the more you think you know. Just this psychosomatic response that truly mind over matter, if you believe something, it's the Thomas theory. What we believe to be real in practice is real in its effects. And so, like, if you go and do these things, like you figure all that out, and then you realize it's all just a farce, and it's just a bunch of people that figured out how they could make money by telling people to do things they should have already been doing.
Yeah.
So I have just backslid from all of that and was like, well, fuck everything that's good for you, because it's all just made up nonsense. And then in like the last 6 weeks, I've been sad and was like, oh, all of those things were good. It just the shoot the messenger for sure, but the message was good.
Yeah.
If psychosomatic, Anakin Sane. You remember that song?
Yeah.
A little Prodigy. Dude,
that's how I feel about Jesus.
Dude, the guy from the Prodigy's dead.
Thank God. Which one?
The lead singer. The guy.
The black guy or the white guy?
Black guy.
Oh, no.
Mr. Prodigy.
Mr. Hype?
Yeah. Mr. Boombox.
He should just run Jose across stage. Hype? He should just run across stage and be like, you ever seen them live, dude?
Yes.
It's a nightmare.
There used to be 102.1 The Edge was the alternative rock station in DFW for me when I was growing up. But from like 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., they turned into Club 102 and they just played dubstep and EDM.
Okay.
And the Prodigy had released an album and they put that song Thunder on there. And I remember being in my crazy expensive truck going 70 in a 30, driving drunk home from banging some chick to go sleep in my mansion and hearing Thunder come on and just be like, I'm the king of the world. And I love the Prodigy forever.
Then Prodigy do fuck my beach up.
Fuck my
smack my bitch up.
Smack my beach up.
Yeah, smack my bitch up is the Prodigy.
Dude, do you know Kneecap?
Firestarter. What?
Kneecap?
I don't think that's them.
I have two kneecaps.
I know, but I'm saying, do you know who they are?
No.
They're like an Irish rap group.
That can't be good.
They're fucking cool. It rules.
No, dude. What's the other Irish rap group?
The Cranberries?
Top of the Morning. No, they had the super famous...
Zombie!
Yeah. Is that Sinead O'Connor?
No, it's the Cranberries.
Was it?
Yeah.
Kneebar? Kneecap. They're called Kneecap. They put out a movie. It's pretty...
How they spell it? Like a kneecap?
Yeah, like you get... Like a kneecapping is a thing the IRA used to do to fucking snitches. Is
car bombs, dog.
Yeah.
IRA. Like Aaron, go bra, dude. Up the rod.
Irish are gangsters, bro. They're fucking Irish are black people. Irish are black people. They're the same thing.
They're IRA.
Okay, I am. That means I can say it.
That's not what I said.
Fuck the queen and I get to say the word.
Amaka Knock, I think, is pretty good.
Amaka Knock.
But Get Your Brits Out is the banger. That's the EDM.
Get Your Brits Out, sick as fuck. Yeah,
Get Your Brits Out.
Damn, that makes me want to do gun crimes against Margaret Thatcher. That's sick as hell.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, Margaret Thatcher. The iron cunt.
Who sings Jump Around?
Kids and Play? Is that right?
No.
No, that's not Kid and Play. Jump Around.
Jump up and jump up and get down.
That's an Irish rap group.
No way.
Yes, it is. House of Pain. They're an Irish rap group from Boston.
No way.
Yes, they are.
Do they spell it P-A-I-G-N?
I think they do. No, they definitely do.
We ain't gay, we're Gaelic.
Dude, that movie rules.
I think he says that.
My girlfriend took me to see this movie, and I thought I'd hate it, but it turned out to be pretty good.
What was it?
Kneecap. They made a movie about, like, it's a fake movie about how they're, like, how they, like, became a band and got famous. They literally do cocaine on stage the whole movie.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think we should do a fake movie in the RV where he makes it.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, where Harry makes it? Yeah, just have him show up and just ride the last 5 miles. We were so close to faking it.
Did you guys have videos?
So we had lots of video. We were filming. The whole thing was to make a documentary. But the thing is, after he crashed, we were like, do we film that he crashed and then us yelling at each other?
Yes.
Also,
yes.
The best moment of the entire trip is we are sitting in Kingsman, Arizona in a shithole fucking RV park. It's been a nightmare of a couple days. The day before, we were in Flagstaff. Dean got hammered drunk and ended up like having a whole big problem. I made us all go to a star observatory so we could go look at stars and look through telescopes.
Which, hold on. I want to say that's like the type of shit I like to do on the road. I like gay, stupid stuff like that. It would have been great.
Well, so we went to a hibachi. We went to a hibachi. Dean got hammered and then snuck out.
No,
a couple
it was
of
having
things
a grown adult who's 35 years old being hammered drunk at an observatory. I shouldn't. Anyways,
but so we had some hurdles at the observatory, and also when we got there, I was like, "Hey guys, we should all go do this," and they're like, "We don't want to do this. This is going to be terrible." And then I guilted everyone by buying their tickets, so I dropped like $100 on observatory tickets. Then we all go through. 10 minutes in, we're on the like beautiful path and these gorgeous stars, and Dean is smoking a cigarette, pissing off of the fucking walkway next to children, and we're like, all right, bud, maybe not do that. You know?
During the day?
No, it was nighttime.
Okay.
But so we do the whole observatory.
He's a cowboy.
Also, I will say, it wouldn't have mattered what time of day it was. Nighttime had nothing to do with it.
But so I ended up saying, fuck the rest of you. Let's make the best of a bad situation. And we all kind of did our own thing or whatever. Dean slept in a bush. We all looked at stars. But it was fine. So we get back to the RV, and then there's a whole kerfuffle there, and then the next morning, we drive into Kingman, Arizona, and we're all stressed. We're all stressed.
He's leaving out. We're not going to say it.
Everybody's pent up.
We're not going to say it, but he's leaving out the craziest part of the story.
So there's a whole kerfuffle.
Wait, can we kerfuffle?
Dean accidentally overserved himself, and then while sharing the blow-up mattress with Matt Boyd, had nocturnal emissions. And so Dean pissed the blowout mattress, to which all of us woke up at 6 a.m. to Matt going, did you piss the fucking bed? So, you know, not great for morale or whatever.
Dude, Matt is already on like the last legs of being willing to even be there, and Dean pisses all over him while he's sleeping, dude.
But so,
pissing on a blow up mattress is crazy.
Yeah,
it was pool. It was there. It didn't go away. It was there.
It was there.
and he was sharing it.
Yeah. So the next morning, you know, Dean has to go solve all of that, and then we get everything cleaned, and so we get past what is a pretty.
Dude, I went back to bed. I was like, I'm not dealing with it. You guys. Figure that this is nuts. I'm out of here, dude, and just
but,
calm
so
down.
That's a pretty fucking wild moment.
Yeah,
we get past it. We do, and we get past it, and then we make it into Kingsman, and we check into the hotel, and we go out, and then that night we all go and do our kind of own separate things. Me and Darren get some root beer floats at this fucking awesome diner
that
Oprah has been to, and it's like beautiful photography and scenery and everything. We go back to sleep. Next morning, we had to do radio, and we still had to pretend on radio like we were making it, because this was promoting getting GoFundMes, getting people to follow the page. Like, we were still doing everything as if it was still working.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know
what else
to do.
We also we were going to try and fake it into Vegas.
This is post-fall.
Yeah, post-fall. So we're all
in a sling.
Yeah, he's in a sling and fucked up.
Yeah.
And the rest of us are like, what are we even fucking doing here? And it's like a rough situation. So I wake up early and we do the fucking thing. And then, you know, we're like, maybe we can make a joke about Dean pissing the bed, you know? And so we're joking about all this. And Dean's like, well, you know, partner, I just made an accident, you know, or whatever. So it's lovable.
Did he say that on the radio?
Something like that. But it's silly and lovable and it's fine. And then it's 8:30 in the morning. And it's hot as shit in this fucking RV, and we're just cooking in the summer heat, and we're all sitting around, and then I get a call from Adam Lucky. and Adam said, "Hey, man, I just wanted to let you know before you saw anything today. Some pretty terrible stuff happened last night. Nick Roche killed himself." And I'm devastated because I love Nick. I roasted him, you know, a few months prior at South by Southwest. He was a beloved piece of the scene, and he was the last person you'd expect to kill himself. He was such a sweet and kind and gentle person, and he never displayed any extreme emotions. He was never super angry or super sad or anything like that. And we'd been out of town for so long, so we'd missed this roast battle that had happened that I guess he lost, and he was tired, and he'd been doing all this stuff. And so I'm rushing through all these emotions, and I hung up the phone, and we're standing there, and Darian's up in the bed, and Dean's sitting down here, and Matt's standing by the doorway. And I remember just pulling the phone down, telling Adam, "Thank you for letting me know," and hanging up. And I go, "Hey guys, last night, Nick Roche killed himself," and the whole RV is silent, and we're all sitting there and processing it. And then Matt Boyd leans in and goes, "Oh man, is he okay?" It was fucking perfect. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. It was the best thing. I was just like, correct. I just nailed it, brother. That was the best moment of the whole trip. But
is he okay?
that was a wild fucking trip.
Yeah, pointless.
You guys should have finished. You should have just been like, "We fell."
We made it there. We filmed some stuff there too.
I mean, and then the rest of it becomes about faking it.
Yeah,
like, that's what we thought.
That was the plan.
But at the end of the day, no one really cared about it enough. We would have just looked like assholes.
Nobody cares about anything.
Nobody cares about anything. I'm with you on that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to.
Nobody
yeah.
gives a fuck. In the yeah. words of Childish Gambino,
we thought about faking it and then decided against it.
We don't want to ruin our integrity, man.
I just didn't see a point.
I would have loved the idea of faking it and then showing how you faked it after.
Yeah, but what's the point of that?
Because it's still
It's hilarious. It's a hilarious fucking rug pull.
There's gonna be great pieces.
This was my argument.
Well, let's still fake it.
I'm done.
Like to fake it, right?
Are we at an hour?
No.
Okay, good. Then we can keep talking.
We're chilling.
Lemaire, you were just on the East Coast. You were in Foxborough.
Yeah, it was okay. I stole it off to Gillette Stadium. No big deal.
You what?
I stole it off Gillette Stadium. No big deal.
Whoa.
I don't think that's true.
The Patriot himself.
Yeah, asterisk.
Asterisk.
Yeah, I stole it off to Gillette Stadium, asterisk.
What did you do while you were out there?
I went to Gillette Stadium. Yeah, I stole it off Gillette Stadium, hung out at the Big Tower. I was at the place called the Comedy Scene. It was really fun, but like they didn't buy my drinks and food and stuff. So they didn't do any of the courtesy, so I can say that out loud. But it was pretty fun.
It's always wild to me how little a club really has to actually do in terms of treating an atomic comic right. Like if you're coming in and you're doing a thing, give me a couple free drinks, offer food even if I don't take it. But like there's a couple of clubs like the Comedy Vault in Batavia.
Yeah.
Liz there is the sweetest fucking lady. And from opener to headliner, everybody she treated with so much kindness and respect and hospitality. And like there's clubs like that all over. And then you go to clubs and you're like, "You charge me for drinks?"
I just said Zany's like full in Nashville. Price? Yeah. And it's just like, it might as well be the Taj Mahal.
Zany's in Nashville fucking rules.
Yeah.
Rips. And they almost don't really do that much. But everything they do is perfect.
But everyone's they crush cool. it.
Yeah, they crush.
Dude, everything on Bark Entertainment, like Bricktown and the Skyline in Appleton, Wisconsin, and Summit City in Fort Wayne. And Louisville Comedy Club and all the other ones that have that Tacoma. Yeah, brother,
need that connect after this.
Dude, game. All of them are run with the same way. But they all have a giant fucking setup of free candy bars. They all have incredible staff. Like when you get there, they say, "Hey, take whatever you want. Do you need to charge your phone? Do you need to shit in a private bathroom? Would you like free alcohol until you fall over? What can we do to make this great for you?" It's like, man, that's here. Yeah. I mean, that's,
from
mean, that's one of
headliner
the
to middle to dude, host.
A great club is a good yes man.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, it's like the comedy club is dependent on the acts on stage.
Yeah.
And of that night, you have a host and a feature.
They're
and
also
a
different
headliner.
Type of comedy club, though. Like, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but like please, this brother. Place is a, but also those places are just venues.
Yeah.
They're not really clubs. This is a club. We all hang out here.
Yeah.
Like we all hang out here. Almost the headliners they have come through here, and I'm not talking shit about anybody, but it's the rest of the people who are here are kind of like, who gives a fuck? Whereas like at a Zany's, all that matters is the headliner that's there that weekend. Whereas Creek is a place, no matter who's here.
Yeah, it feels like it's insane that Rebecca is not a comic with how much she empathizes with comics.
Right,
yeah,
right,
because
right.
This is just yeah. by comics for comics. This right. is the most FUBU
this is a club. Type of club. This is a club. We are in a club. This is our club.
I have not met a single person Austin has become the biggest comedy city in the country, and everybody has come here for either Mothership or something else, but we have become comedy Mecca, and not a single person has come here and not spent time hanging out at the Creek.
At the Creek. Yeah.
If you come to Austin, the quintessential hang
is
Creek in the Cave.
Yeah.
There's not a single other place facilitated for it. Nothing else even tries to cater to it. There's no point because this is
it feels like you can get a fight. You can get in a fight at the Creek.
And then you can get a fight at the Creek.
You can get a fight at the Creek with like one of your friends and then just still come back the next night and be like, look, dude, I was on some shit last night. You're fucking
We're right. gonna fight right after this.
Dude, the old thing is gonna be great. Bartender that used to work here that does comedy sometimes, Rob May.
Mm-hmm.
He and I were drinking here late one night, and it was after there used to be Dina Maverick had a veterans benefit show that a bunch of veterans would come out to. So afterwards there'd be 70 of the crowd members, just people hanging out. We're all in the back patio and we're drinking and talking shit. And then Rob goes, oh dude, I found these the other day. Let me go grab them. And he runs into the office and comes back with sock'em boppers,
yeah.
the blow up boxing
yeah.
gloves.
Yeah.
So me and Rob don the sock'em boppers and then we start sock'em bopping more fun than a pillow fight.
Yeah.
And then he hit me with one, and when it hit, the sock'em bopper popped, and it just like catapulted his fist into my cheek. We stop immediately afterwards, and I'm like, oh, dude, you just definitely gave me a black eye.
Yeah.
But I had a shiner for a week and a half, just fully swollen black eye from just boxing on the back patio here.
That's a good story.
And everybody around is just like, this is a great fucking night. What a wonderful Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a wonderful Wednesday.
Yeah. What do you boys have coming up?
Nothing.
That's a lie.
Skankfest.
That's a lie. Skankfest, okay.
Optimum Noctis.
Yeah, when's the next Optimum Noctis?
September 3rd.
I think I'm on that one. Maybe. You booked me on one of them. I don't know which one it is, but also it was when he's drunk, but I told him about it on the podcast. So now he has to honor it.
What else?
So Optimum Noctis,
panties in the
September
mouth.
3rd, panties in the mouth.
Yeah.
Incredible podcast.
And I don't know. We watch a lot of Cheers. Cheers rules.
I like Cheers. I like the idea of people knowing me in a bar.
Yeah, I want to be like Norm.
Don't we all?
Dude, Norm lived a life.
WWND.
They never showed his wife. They never showed Vera, but like, there was like hints that Vera was like hot, and then she got fat, and then she started getting hot again.
Ooh,
yeah.
I've never watched Cheers.
It rules.
I've only watched Frasier.
Well, watch
Aren't
where
those
it comes
related?
From. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You get to watch his descent into alcoholism and why he moved to Seattle. It's over a girl.
Oh man, I can't watch that right now. I'll be so fucking sad. Dog.
You'll be hyped then.
Dude, I've just been crying listening to love songs for the last couple days. Yeah. Fucking nightmare town.
I'm sorry, brother.
It's okay.
Yeah, let's go play some pool.
Yeah, let's go play some pool and drink too much. Darian, where are you going to be coming up?
Darian Comedy on YouTube. I'll be there a lot over the next coming weeks. Let's see. I'm doing the comedy club in
You are featuring for me on September 21st at Big Laugh Comedy Club.
Not what I was going to say. I'm headlining another club
in
New Braunfels next week.
Lucy's Comedy Club.
I'm headlining Lucy's Comedy Club. But yeah, Fort Worth. When's our Fort Worth date?
Fuck you.
No, when is it? What's the date? What is it? September?
It's September 21st.
September.
At 8 p.m.
Don't come see me at Lucy's. If you really want to see me, drive from New Braunfelsville up to Fort Worth, where you can see me do less time on September 20, whatever.
First.
So also, 21st. Next Thursday at 8 p.m. at Big Laugh Comedy Club in Fort Worth, I will be hosting Roast Battle. Jay Light will be in the Jeff Ross position. I will be in the Brian Moses position. And I'm not going to be nice. I'm going to roast the shit out of Fort Worth because I'm from South Lake, and that means I'm better than you. Fuck you, Fort Worth. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the pod. This was a great time.
Thank you, dude.
Lamar Lee, Darian Irwin.
Hey, fun, brother.
I've been Mike Eaton. Thank you for watching. And tune in for weekly episodes because I'm done being a lazy piece of shit. And we're going to actually put out episodes. All right, bye.